Hey, y'all, it's Poodle here. I cannot wait for you guys to listen to this next collab with another Below Deck podcast with Dylan and Pat. We had so much fun. It was nice to have my first podcast back from Colombia with these two. These two straight boys just eased me right into it. sorry. Anyway, it's a blast. We have a lot of fun talking about the sexual dynamics of the thruple on this episode and what we think of the future that's there for the franchise. And we just have a really good time. Just three bros hanging out, broing. Like three bros do. Maybe just they're playing video games. Slowly you reach a hand around to hug them. And then you tug at their penis. Anyway, enjoy the collab. Bye.
So it's a weird one. It's a collab. I mean, we don't know whose show this is, but we're just excited to be talking about the season finale of Below Deck with you, dear Jake.
It's, guys, this is really fun. Thank you for having me, and I'm glad to have you in this threesome, in this thruple.
I know, it's
thruple.
I was so excited about that driving in rush hour. I thought about it today. I was like, it's so perfect.
All right, Jake, do you mind? This is a trope that we use on another Below Deck podcast.
Of
course.
At
the top of the show, we have a rating system where we rate the episode by knots. So it's 1 out of 100 knots on how we felt about the, in this case, I guess the episodes, episode 16, episode 17. I'll just throw to you, Jake. What are your knots and thoughts on these episodes?
Knots and thoughts. Knots and thoughts.
Yeah.
I would say to me, I think this is about a 65.
Hmm.
70-ish. It's 70 for how awful the gays were.
Yeah.
This was, y'all, this is, if you don't know about West Hollywood gay behavior, this is textbook.
That's
this
so
is
sad. I felt
awful.
Like they gave you such a bad rap or such a bad name.
This is awful. Although they had a lot of great quotes. Kaylin, you don't have you probably don't have the infrastructure to do this, but every time I give a gay quote, can you play Can't Get You Out of My Head by Kylie Minogue?
100%.
Or you can sing. I just need to add
you can't
one.
No, well, it's there. My computer's hooked in.
Use my phone and Bluetooth it.
No, we can do it in post, or we can just sing it. I think it would be more fun if we sang
go,
Kylie
la,
Minogue.
All right, I want to say this.
You know,
Jake,
what? If this is how we're dealing with each other in Sardinia, what the fuck are we even doing?
Yeah. All right, so Jake's breaking up. I'm sorry to interrupt your thoughts and knots. Jake is bringing
a cardinal sin of the podcast. You don't fucking do
this
that.
This is what's fascinating about this. When I think about a thruple, I think, all right, so we got Randy. I think they said his Ray, Randy,
or
whatever.
Ray. Nick, it was very confusing.
And we had Brad. When I think thruple on a vacation, right? You're thinking Ray is, I don't know, grabbing Nick's balls. Nick is then returning, I guess, kind of a favor to Ray.
Yeah.
And they're doing this while they're drinking Voo. This would be an amazing thruple.
Yeah.
Instead, everyone's pissed at each other. People are throwing up. That little weird looking one, I think his name is Nick. I believe he was the turd burglar.
That one is Brad. I had to literally do some flashcards here because the names came really fast and loose.
I gave up on it.
I did a little bit of who's who, that game. But it was Ray and Brad are the couple, the little guy, the pocket gay.
Yep.
So the pocket gay, y'all, I got to say, Brad, the pocket gay, was the one who brought his mom, I believe, which, y'all, that's a real gay move.
Yeah.
Bringing your mom on a cruise.
It's a super gay move. But these are your pots. I'm not going to interrupt.
Yeah. I just want to say, Brad, so when, to me, I was trying to figure out what is this dynamic, and I would assume as the resident gay historian here,
yeah,
I would tell you how I think it goes.
Yeah.
There is Randy / Ray, who is this kind of, who obviously has anger management issues, mm-hmm, and probably alcohol issues.
Yep.
And then there's Nick with just a C, no K, who is their boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then there's Brad, who obviously has the money and who obviously does things. And Randy is the dumb one.
God damn it.
Anyway, I feel that Nick and Randy kind of pass Brad around like a volleyball.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just jumps on one dick and jumps on the other.
Yeah.
And it's just like ring toss.
Right.
Like Gary played.
Like, coat hanger cock toss.
Yeah. Which was very, very similar to anal ring toss. Which is, it's a thing that bachelor parties subject sex workers too. But mm-hmm, I'm so proud of myself right now, Jake, because I'm,
is that right?
I'm so happy as a straight man. I don't know if it was that difficult to suss out, but I did suss out exactly what you said. Ray does not make enough money to have a say in the matter. And
does
he
not.
Is very, very fucking mad about it. But yep. Brad, what's his name? Brad or Brad? The little one.
Brad is the little one.
The volleyball. We'll call him Wilson. He is the one that gets to tell Ray what the fuck to do. And that's the dynamic here. I understand Ray's contempt for the situation, but what an asshole.
I think you nailed it. And Nick is there because Randy got tired of fucking Brad without competition. And he needs to get out somehow in a weird way compete, because he needs to feel like he's better than Brad, because he has no money. And obviously when Brad on a hot mic situation told his mom, "Don't even have a prenup."
Oh God, you didn't have a prenup. Yeah. I love that. This was one of the best episodes. If you don't mind, can I jump in with my thoughts and knots?
Did you give your pots?
Yeah,
did you
65, say 70.
65? I said 65 or 70, okay, but only because, not because of the crew, because of the guests only.
Okay. All right.
This, the crew, we're doing the same thing.
Yeah. First off, I am so happy to have, as Jake pointed out, he is a gay historian.
Yeah.
Yes.
I will need to understand and dig deeper into all the drama at that dinner table, because I couldn't make who's pissed at who, why is who, why are they pissed at Grant?
It's understandable.
Yeah.
But you probably understand what was going on.
I understood it perfectly, sadly, because this happens at Sir and Pump nightly.
Right.
These same conversations.
Very confounding. Yeah.
Okay. So I love the episode. Dylan knows this. Jake, you probably don't, but I have a thought on what makes a great reality TV show. And it's, as you pointed out, it's horrible people. It's horrible guests. Yeah. In this case, Randy is a horrible person, and I loved hating him. I loved hating him.
The saddest thing is when the villain turns into the hero or the heroine in the case of Potomac. You know, like Candace is beloved by people now, and it just makes me angry because she's just a demon. But anyways, go ahead.
Dylan, that's what's the best thing about reality TV is you have a 2-episode arc where you're looking a little bit better. We can completely change, turn you from being the most hated person in America to beloved.
Right. Yeah.
That unflushed turd in the toilet made me want to, and definitely it was the little org looking motherfucker. He's the one who dropped that turd in there. Okay, that turd belonged.
I don't know.
In.
He seems like he's got his stuff buttoned up. I think it was Ray. He's a fucking drunk.
Ray, or I think it's probably Ray because Ray's a pig. Yeah. But the little one had a look about him that, like an imp. He does things to make people feel uncomfortable. because you can't trust a pocket gay, but the but you can, however, put them under your seat.
Yeah.
You can. If you need to travel with them, or you can carry them like a clutch because they're so small.
Yeah.
And definitely it was the little guy that left that very little tiny little turd.
Okay.
So I love this episode. Normally the last four episodes of any Below Deck season completely suck.
Oh, they're awful.
I will say this, just my general thoughts of the season overall. Was not in love with the story arc of the thruple. I like Daisy and Colin. I want my old sea dog Colin to just be the Dr. Phil and the little gossipy bitch that he's been for the
Me
past
too.
Three seasons. I don't need him falling in love with Daisy. If he was going to be single, I would have preferred him to try some, you know, underlings or something. And Gary turned out to be a complete scumbag, little gossipy, little lying bitch. But overall, I love the episode. Could have done with a little less thruple drama. 90 knots.
Very eloquent.
Thank you.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, good call.
Mm-hmm. Kalen?
I liked it. I liked
And you know to keep it brief, right?
I liked the crew drama. I liked the guest drama. I was very entertained. I gave it 60 knots.
That's perfect.
Thank you, Kalen.
There is a cosmic kind of sacred geometry happening tonight. We have the conclusion of the thruple. Mm-hmm. The worst part of this season. We have the thruple aboard this vessel, and we mm-hmm. have the three of us. Kalen is here as well.
Yeah, he's here to clean up. He's like he comes in.
Kalen is sitting in what we call in the gay community the daddy chair.
Okay.
Which some in the daddy chair, just kind of watches the action, usually with a cigar, and he's in a harness and just jerks off.
Okay. I was going
to
say
until he wants to get involved. So Kalen's in the daddy chair, and we're all three in the menagerie.
I love that because I was going to say vestigial tail, which I think that the gay community can figure out what to do with. But
just put that anywhere.
You can put it anywhere. So the season is I'm worn down. I'm worn down. Gary's.
I gotta agree with you.
My face is as red as Gary's right now. I've been in the sun too long. But you know, I'm very very sorry for the lovely sea rats that this was their last charter. But I'm very very happy for us that we did not end with some pleasant group of people because nobody fucking wants that. So 90 pots, 4 pots for the season. Bravo, do better. So
good.
Let's get into this. It feels like it's been forever because it's been 2 weeks.
It has been 2 weeks.
We did not take Juneteenth off, but we did take Independence Day off or something. I don't know what the fuck happened. But last we were watching Below Deck, we had Gary being a bag of shit.
Asking about a period.
Yeah, asking
a woman.
Asking a woman.
And there was one moment where Lucy, who to me has been one of the bright spots of the season because she's so authentic in what she says. And I think she hasn't gotten she's gotten a decent edit, but I think if she would have had more to do, she would have gotten a better one.
Yeah.
But at one point, Lucy's just like, don't ask a girl that. And it was just, we all said that.
This is the crazy thing about Coxman. It's crazy that they don't pick up or educate themselves about women.
No.
Despite interacting with women constantly. But, you know, they just see them as holes. So,
well, all right. So yes. I had a big issue with this because Gary didn't even. All right. So this is post going down on Mads, right? He's given her a load of shit. How dare she? But it's post going down on her. You didn't notice that she might have been on her period. No harm, no foul.
No harm, no
foul. Here's where you're pissed. If you're in a situation, a guy, your friend goes, hey, eat this taco. And then you eat the taco. And then your friend says, hey, by the way, I came in that.
Yeah.
Right. Then you go, holy shit.
Right. But I would still say no harm,
Why
no foul.
Why didn't you tell me?
I would
but
still
I
say,
did, but I ate it anyway.
Yeah. I would no harm, no foul. It's just, it's extra protein and it doesn't change the flavor of the taco that much. Mm. This is just a classic game of telephone though. Someone says they're on their period. Someone eats that person out. The whole thing goes tits up after that. You know, I mean, we've seen it time
Same
after time.
Same old story a thousand times.
What is Gary's apology to Mads?
Ugh.
He says something like a Cro-Magnon-y, you know.
I can't even really talk to you right now. I can't look at you.
Yeah.
It's really bad because I think you said this earlier, and this has been a perfect storm for Gary to reveal all of his character flaws that are not good time Gary season.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling on the reunion next week, he's going to be pretty contrite. Yeah. But I don't think he will apologize.
No.
Because Gary can't apologize because he's a child. Because children don't know what they're sorry for.
And we're really going to see the depths of his mental illness. And, you know, just that the shadows are running amok and he has no idea what's going on. When he can't even say sorry to Colin. That's going to be the fucking sad thing.
Here's the odd thing. It's clearly Bravo or production.
I mean, he should say sorry to everybody, but just in Gary's world, he should.
You know. All right. So we watched three seasons of Gary. He's a complete sex addict. And, you know, you give him a pass because he's good at his job and he's kind of fun and charismatic. And that goes a long way, even though you're being kind of a lying, manipulating womanizer, right? And we see on these boats, you know, that happens quite a bit. But this season, Gary, when he feels a little bit where basically he's chasing a girl, it really opened up his character flaws, kind of what you touched on, where this was the first season where you're seeing him be petty, play mind games, lie, be manipulative, especially
where
with
he's not in charge.
Yes. And it's like, wow, okay, all it takes is for you to be a little shaken up where then the real you comes out. I think this might be a spoiler, but I believe he's filming season whatever.
He is. Both he and Daisy.
I thought this was going to probably do him in, but apparently it didn't.
And bone to pick with our C-Ret insider sources.
Yes.
Don't tell us that people get fired anymore. You can't trust a C-Ret.
No.
You just can't trust. And we had multiple C-Rets tell us this is what's going on next season. You cannot trust a C-Ret.
Never.
No, never.
What were you saying, Jake?
I just want to say what you were talking about Gary. I think that Gary is contracted by Parsifal, by the people who own the boat.
Yeah.
So I think it would have to be a big firing for him not to be on Parsifal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think even Glenn is contracted by those people. So I think
love that
Gary
take.
Goes with Parsifal.
And Gary, I think that Gary, I mean, he would eventually flame out like a dog chasing a car, but I think there might be a lawsuit there, you know?
I agree, and I think Gary would have to quit. I think there is a certain type of person who watches this show, both men and women, who, regardless of how Gary acts, will like him.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people who are on the internet and a lot of our people who listen to us go, how can anyone like him? Blah, blah. He's a misogynist, blah, blah. And I'm like, yes, and?
No,
yes,
I know.
And? And
people have certain charisma that you just don't understand. Like, Pat does a great impression of somebody who people say he has a lot of charisma all the time, but I just don't see it. He's that guy that was like, he's a loser. He got shut down.
No politics.
But anyways, no politics. We love whoever you vote for. I love that this is the straw that breaks the back of the beautifully haired camel named Alex, because Alex is now done. And I love that this entire thing got rolling down the hill because Colin slid into the role that we need him to exist in, the gossipy bitch. This is what Colin can do. This is why we need him here in this, you know, slot
in the
batter's
lineup.
I totally
agree. I think Colin should be contractually obligated to have a girlfriend every season.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because single Colin doesn't get to focus on everyone else's eccentricities and conflicts and problems.
Yes.
And he doesn't get to have conversations with Gary and Daisy and the chef and get inside their head and do what he does best, which is like make problems that are already there worse.
Right.
In many senses, he's the Kyle Richards of Below Deck.
Exactly what he is.
Yeah.
He's a puppet. Well, he's a puppet.
And also, I love the people on Whispering Alien just shitting on Kyle Richards, because how dare she pretend like everything was fine while the cameras were
with
rolling
Mauricio.
And then get a divorce when filming stopped.
Well, the cameras are back there. I heard today they announced they're doing some Vanderpump shit.
Well, you know, she's just a witch.
She's sold her soul a long time ago. And I don't know if there's a lot there anymore. But
yeah, there's a few of them. Tamara Judge sold her soul, and now she couldn't be happier being back. I mean, her life is in shambles. The gym is, you know, sold or out of business, or family doesn't talk to her. It's amazing what people. It is really selling your soul to be on Bravo.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you will. And in a weird way, what Andy Cohen and others of his ilk have created is this fake life that is their real life. And then they forget that their real life isn't the show. And it is a weird type of meta life that only Black Mirror could have dreamed up.
Right, right.
And here we are.
Who would have thought even last year, or perhaps when New York began, that a decade later we would see Luann successfully noodling a catfish?
Holy shit.
I mean,
I love doing that.
Did you guys
that.
Watch that?
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was incredible.
It was so good. And I have to say, it might have been like that scene that almost killed Anthony Bourdain the first time where they were dropping the frozen octopus in to make it seem that could have been a plant. But if it wasn't, I am so proud of Luann Delsap for fucking catching that thing.
Oh,
I would
you
never
liked me catching
that.
A catfish. Watch me sing a little Frank. I've got you.
Don't croon.
Under my thumb.
No crooning. No crooning. All right.
I just wonder how many fucking PAs she fucked on that season. She will fuck anyone younger than 30.
Oh, and fucking her and Sonia Morgan, forget about it. All right, so let's meet the gays. We have some very intense necklaces. And
yeah,
overall,
there's a lot of jewelry.
The one primary looks like he could be like an alien sympathizer in Avatar. Like he wants to be the Na'vi or something
very
like
Na'vi-esque.
That.
Very Na'vi-esque.
But yeah. I got to say, he does not pull them off, because how could anybody? But if anyone was going to do as well as they could, it's this guy. I mean, he kind of... He looks like a god of war.
Now, we're speaking of Grant. Now, he was the one wearing that necklace made of lizard cocks or whatever the hell that
yes.
was. Or dead fingers or something weird.
They are WeHo gays who also do yoga.
Yeah.
And they are adjacent. They love, I guarantee you, they go to Burning Man every single year.
Yes. Oh. Love
and
that.
And they have huge orgies.
Yeah.
And what was interesting, what Ray and the Thruple
yes.
Was trying to communicate when they're like, oh, and the because when the mom at dinner was like, yeah, we saw a lot of people wearing things that were just not covering their bodies. I mean, in my day, that wouldn't even have been imagined.
Right.
And Ray's like, I know there's a lot of like fat people here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the yoga gays were like, you know, we like all bodies are bodies.
Yeah, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then Ray, who'd had too much to drink, goes, yeah, but you wouldn't have fucked them.
Right.
Now
and
right.
sadly, Ray is right.
Yeah, but you're right. The Grant ethos is very much like light dose of ketamine at Burning Man tolerant.
Totally.
Yeah,
we love everyone.
Can you
here.
Give some gay historical insight into who the fuck are these people as friends? Because it seems like they're just people that decided they know each other.
I'll tell you.
And also, okay. sorry, Jake. Two part question. I also want if you could just educate us on the normalcy or not of polyamory in this community, because I feel like
sure
it
thing.
Might be more commonplace and more successful in the gay community, but I don't know.
Successful is an interesting term,
yeah,
but
yeah.
we can talk about
okay,
it.
All right.
I want to address your first thing, like who are these people and why are they together? So let me just talk about the... I knew that Grant and his boyfriend
Todd.
Were the co-primaries. Thank you, Todd.
Yeah.
They were the co-primaries. They had another friend who was with them.
David.
Thank you. Boy, sound like your Pat's over there like Rain Manning.
Yeah,
David,
yeah, yeah.
David Wapner.
So
Wapner.
David is like the satellite gay or perhaps the linchpin of the group.
Yes.
He's the daddy. He sits in a chair and beats off.
Right.
He sits the dad. He's in the daddy chair. And then there's Deb, the mom, who is Brad's mother. So my theory about this is they have some type of, I think Grant and Todd have some type of consulting firm. And I have an idea that Brad's got money. Either from family or I think Brad has to be a finance guy. I can see the look in his
eye.
And I think Brad has got a lot of money. I think that's a big client of theirs. And
love
I think
that.
This was to woo Brad, which love is why that. They don't really want to fucking deal with Brad and his goddamn mother, who doesn't know what she's doing, who ran off on the unicorn float.
I think that's such a good read. I think that's such a good read because Brad does strike me as somebody who has like, you know, people have like Athletic Greens, great product. We'll do an ad read for them in a bit. But like he does expensive like chlorophyll kind of stuff in the morning.
Totally.
He had the eye bag thing going on in one of the scenes. He's a very powerful man. He scares the fuck out of me.
And in that tiny little body, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, because in that small package, he takes up less energy than others.
Yeah.
Who were found in the woods.
Yeah, he's nuclear powered.
It's interesting you guys bring that up because I was trying to make sense of that master suite in which the thruple slept in. And I was thinking as I looked at that bed, there's no way that three men could fit on that bed unless one of them is part of the Lollipop Guild. Yeah. And that would be Brad.
Yes,
that'd
be Brad. And that would be true. He sleeps in a little hammock above him.
Yeah.
just
Or maybe they put like a bird perch in a corner and he just...
Yeah, he just like perches there and they feed him bird's feet. Yeah. He's fine with it.
Okay, so we have to get to the show, but I guess I did ask you about educate us. If that's not too big of a...
I want to tell you about just thruples in general.
Yeah.
Now, in the... Especially men who sleep with men in the kind of gay community... It is because there's less of a history, I would say, of monogamy and less of a history of marriage that just in general, because gay marriage hasn't been legal for very long.
Yeah.
And also a culture of sex, that gay sex was how culturally and historically how you asserted your own identity. And how you were kind of growing up as a gay man and knowing who you were was to have gay sex because it was that was showing you who you were. It was part of culturally your identity.
Huh.
And so when gay men wanted to start to get married, it was hard to leave this kind of sexuality with one another person.
Right.
Because you weren't shackled by
the conventions
monogamy. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that, because that wasn't for you. So, and a lot of times, I'll be honest, I think I have a lot of gay men friends or queer men friends who are in relationships, and I would say probably 50-50 are open. Thrupling is different, however. Thrupling usually means that you are a couple. And you sleep with this one other guy, and that's all you sleep with. Now, that's not always the case.
Yeah.
But it seems in this case, they're using the term thruple as more notoriety than anything else.
Yeah.
But thrupling happens. It's a very San Francisco thing where you're saying, oh, we're in a triad or we're in a square.
Right.
And you're like, how do you keep track of all that? God, you have to pay so many compliments and talk to people and talk about your day to two other people. Fuck that.
Right. So the gay community, much like in the straight, I was going to say community, but that's not the wrong word.
y'all don't have nothing community. We don't either though.
It is equally fatal.
Well, here's what I will say. If you can make it work in an open relationship, I know some thruples that exist and they can make it work. It's harder.
Yeah.
You have to have I doubt this one's going to make it that long because
Randy/Ray's
temper.
Yeah, I don't think it made it off the boat. No.
And he's a goddamn drunk too.
I still like, we can't even get along in Sardinia. What the fuck are we doing here? Exactly.
What's the new song? The new Kylie Minogue song is Taking the World by Storm.
Padam, padam.
Padam, padam. Yeah. Exactly.
That was, you know, there's a gay person because I was like, put on, put on.
I watched.
There was no hesitation at all.
I watched Trixie and Katya, but the details don't hit me, and I don't dance to the song in clubs. So, anyways.
Just one other thing about thruples and open relationships. What in my experience, I've never really been in one. But what I would say is if you are in one, there's a lot of rules that are laid down. Like you can't sleep with someone who, if you have an open relationship, you're not sleeping with someone in town or someone that we know. If you're on the road, that's a different thing. I don't want to know about it. Or if you sleep with someone, we do it together. That's a very common thing. And then you don't outside the marriage. What I will tell you about open relationships is it takes a lot of communication to make them work. I have been sharing a little bit. I have been the third in an open relationship.
Yeah.
And it ended with the person, me seeing one of the triad and the other part of the triad knocking on my door saying, I know you're in there.
Okay. So, yeah.
It never, I got to say, I listened to a podcast called Dr. Wendy Walsh.
And she loves Wendy Walsh.
I love Dr. Wendy Walsh. She gave a stat of polyamory relationships. They generally last less than a year.
Yeah. And
it's
also
a straight couples.
Tip to straight couples out there. Don't pitch that idea because that's crowbarring open Pandora's box. It's not really great. All right.
So that's my thruple discussion.
Thank you. Because, I mean, God, that sounds like a lot of work. It sounds like
Jake pointed out, you come home from work.
It's a lot of communication
and you gotta
ask some fucking
two dudes how their day was.
Oh, God.
I can barely get through half of me caring about
it's
one
like
person.
A Settlers of Catan expansion.
Thank you. That's the hardest part of it.
All right, so the shots get ripped immediately. The sliders hit the table. There are not enough sliders in the world that could prevent these people from not getting blackout at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, only half the people.
Well,
yeah. Can I?
The Burning Man crew.
Exactly. Can I say the Burning Man crew know how to drink? They probably had a little ayahuasca earlier in the day.
Yeah.
So, but I need. If you could give me a little Kylie Minogue background, I need to replicate this guy's drink order. I'll have a double martini on the rocks with olive juice and an extra shot, and you can keep going.
That is not so much gay as it is classless.
Classic.
Disgusting trash. I mean, that is shirking every convention of drinking that is beautiful. It's just, it's revolting.
That's like 4 ounces of vodka and you squeeze an olive in it.
There's not enough room for the olive juice.
No.
Unless you
put disgusting.
Like an Italian cafe amount of ice in there, which is nobody wants that.
By the way, I've never heard, go ahead, Jake.
I've never heard of a martini on the rocks.
On the rocks, yeah. No. It's almost like it's not a martini.
I do want to also, sorry, these are little things that I pick up when I watch. When Lucy was pouring those tequila shots too, that tequila was not iced and there was no lime in there.
Okay. Agreed. And then also, okay, just to give you a little background of the podcast. So we call her Lucky. She did DM us and say, that's not my name. We told her we're aware, but we call her Lucky because she is cosmically unlucky and we've deduced that she's being chased in a Final Destination kind of way by death. So what are you doing?
Next time Jake calls out Kylie Minogue, I'll play
it. Love her so much. We're talking to her on Friday. But you can never trust a C-Rat.
Never trust a C-Rat.
Also, Lucky, I think there's one shot class that's bigger than the others, which is just the most C-Rat shit ever. It's like going to a house party at a condo and they didn't think that many people were going to come. So they have to pull out the extra one.
And you're giving them like your kids' glasses.
Yeah.
Jake, right. Your sippy cups.
Jake, I want to jump on something that you said about the rude behavior on top of that.
Yeah.
They also engaged in something that I completely despise when I've been out with other people. This has happened a lot. Talking in front of service people like they don't exist.
Ugh.
Yeah.
When he tells Daisy that she took forever.
That took forever. That is... Have either of you guys ever been servers?
No.
I worked at a pizza joint, basically having to serve people. Yeah.
I was going to work at a country club, but I couldn't pass the drug test.
I worked at a country club. I worked at a country club as it was basically a snack bar, but it was the golf course grill.
Yeah.
But I worked a lot in serving, and it happens, and you just start to disassociate after a while. Yeah. But there are moments where you just kind of wake up and you go, holy shit, I'm a person, when you're a server.
Yeah.
And because that kind of stuff does happen. And after a while, you just keep going on. I think some people like Mads and Lucy are pretty new to this, it seems like. But like a Kate Chastain wouldn't have bat an eye.
No,
because she's heard and seen it 1,000 times.
And this is the danger of the elites. And it's a real blind spot.
Yeah.
To give a C-Rat an opportunity for them to think they're better than you is a real mistake, you know? And if you're rude to them, then they can, you know, put themselves above you. And there's no reason for that. I'm just kidding. We're all humans.
That was rough. I want to add one more comment that Nick said to Randy later on when they were bitch fighting.
Oh, hold on. Wait, let me cue up your music.
And they were... Oh, I love it. He said, you know what? You couldn't even apologize. Oh, you want me to apologize? Well, I'm sorry you got so fucked up. So good. I only want to watch these two be awful to each other. And but the thing about it is, it's like, who's afraid of Virginia Woolf, but on a really low level?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With really bad insults.
Right.
That room, what was happening behind that closed door was bananas.
You know, I have to admit something right here. I said, yeah, totally.
You didn't understand the Virginia Woolf?
No, I've never seen who's a Virginia. The only thing about Virginia, I've read Orlando.
They just fight. It's a movie where they just fight and insult each other.
Okay, great.
Or a play, actually.
All right, great.
So Randy passes out real quick.
God, I'm so sorry to be so deceitful.
No. I throw out references like that, and my co-host Matt will go, never seen it. Yeah. Like in that way, and I go,
yeah.
I miss Matt. Last time we did a podcast, he pulled out a It's a Living reference from 1987 on the brand new Fox Network.
Welcome
I
to my life.
I fell in love with Matt.
All right, so we hit the water toys quite quickly, and before you know it, we almost have a dead old woman on our hands. I mean, in 2 seconds. Alex cuts her loose at her request, but, you know, there is a rescue mission, Hatch, but even in the rescue mission, she almost dies like 3 times. I mean, the elderly cannot be in perilous positions like this.
Her sunglasses are also super askew.
Yeah.
When she's being taken in, when she's being kind of like Sherpa'd into it, they zoom in, and all I can think of is it looks like something from what's the movie where they carry around a corpse?
Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
It looks like that.
Well, much like Weekend at Bernie's, I think he died from a knock to the head. She hit her head on the goddamn floating dock like 15 times throughout this entire... It's just very dangerous.
I will say, I was constantly worried about this woman's sure-footedness.
Yeah.
And she was stepping all over. She was falling.
Right.
I could not enjoy ever her being around because I was concerned for her safety.
Well, Brad wanted her dead because it would clear up all his financial problems with that fucking scumbag Randy who keeps vomiting in the sink. He'd be able to hire a high-level attorney. He could divorce Randy, and he could solve all his problems. She's 72. She's lived long enough.
All right, so we get a little bit of a meanwhile.
Meanwhile.
The guys have a chat about how Gary is a piece of shit. The one drunk Randy, a.k.a. Ray, or whatever his fucking name is, does that thing, which is weird, where you ruin an expensive vacation by blacking out long before the sun goes down. That's a thing where something in his life, the poles are not where they are or where they're supposed to be, and he's just very, very uncomfortable to be in his own skin, and he just
Well, also, I don't know why I'm trying to diagnose it that complicated. He's just a fucking drunk, and he ruins his vacation.
He's a drunk, and what happens for a lot of people is they get on camera,
yeah,
and it may be the first time, and they drink more, and they realize, oh, I need to drink more because I'm still feeling insecure.
Yeah,
And what happens is they hit their limit, or they order a double martini on the rocks with olive juice with an extra shot. Yeah.
Now, yeah. Which is, again, not a thing.
Here's the thing.
That's not a drink. That is not a drink that exists.
Those cameras in their, I guess, their room, their quarters, where it's Nick, Brad, and Randy. And Randy claims that, I think it's Nick didn't try and fucking help him at all and left him sleeping on the floor, where you actually heard multiple times Nick saying, let me get you on the bed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So this is not their first rodeo of Randy being a fucking prick.
I'm also, this is going to get dark. I'm going to promise you that there has been not just verbal abuse, but physical abuse in this relationship.
Oh, hell yeah.
You think so? It's really awful. Yep.
Wow.
I haven't talked to him in a while. I had two gay friends. One was definitely the more feminine. He liked to dress up as Tina Turner and actually got to get on the Oprah Winfrey show.
Doesn't love to do that?
But his boyfriend, Jeff, who
that's
I was more
Saturday.
Friends, Jeff used to brag to me that he used to love to beat the shit out of Peter.
It is a thing that happens in a lot of lesbian relationships.
Oh, really?
But it happens in a lot of male-male relationships as well. A lot of physical abuse, and it's really underreported.
That would be fun if I could spar with my wife. I've been going to Muay Thai a lot. She won't even let me pretend to throw a kick.
She beat the shit out of you.
I guarantee you, your wife would fight dirty.
I think she would too. She'd gouge my fucking eyes out. All right, so if the booze didn't make Randall sick enough, let's go sailing. We tilt to 35 degrees. Puree goes everywhere. We're scalding. Knives are flying, and it wouldn't be a season finale without
Randy barfs.
I'm still convinced that a lot of this B-roll is just recycled over and over and over again of them healing. I don't believe it all happens. I don't know if you guys heard this too. One of our Daisy was interviewed sometime maybe it was Watch What Happens Live or something, and Daisy's like, "Yeah, I have to give this to you. Production makes us take the locks off of all the stuff because
she admitted
they enjoy seeing it."
Wow. Yeah,
she admitted it.
Well, that would be the only fucking explanation for this. Because to put... it's just like, put a fucking child lock on the shit.
All right. I've said this before, Jake. I need a steak knife to go through someone's head.
Okay.
Because if you're going to do this, then let's just amp it up. Lucky they had a shot of her ironing, which she had like the steam iron thing going.
Think
I'm like,
about what?
I need that thing to touch her fucking skull, and it will make that Nexium fucking branding shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, imagine Lucky getting off the show and having to explain why she's got a branding of an iron
on
her fucking face.
You know what? We've thought that it's Final Destination Grim Reaper, but maybe Allison Mack is transmuting into inanimate objects from some prison cell.
No, she's out of jail, man.
Fucking, oh, is she?
Fucking like Nexium shit all there. And
yeah. I can never watch Smallville the same way. It's just so
and
fucked
you're thinking,
up.
Was she thinking about the brand she just received?
Yeah.
When Tom, she's filming that scene?
Tom Welling was like, "Hey, Allison, what's that?" All right. So,
chicken? What's that on your leg? Oh, that's just a brand for ownership. Never mind.
That just means I'm Keith's. All right. So, yes, death once again comes from Lucky. The iron anthropomorphizes and attacks her. Randy is waking up from his binge drinking. That is everyone else's fault, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tasmanian devil kind of shit happens. They said that someone threw a glass of water on the ceiling. Jake's right. They hit each other.
I swear to God, there's a dynamic here of Randy needing to feel like the man, big man,
right.
And he wasn't getting validated. And then you had the two queens over here. It was like, everything's fine. And Randy was like, I need to make myself better than other people. And Mom was trying to validate because it's all some type of weird like insidious thing, because Mom probably likes Randy in some way, and then like Brad was crying to mom, we don't even have a prenup.
I agree with that. So mom was trying to placate that relationship when clearly they were being pricks. And so you can see that she's been a codependent relationship with her son for a number
of years. Mom's an asshole too.
That's what I'm agreeing with.
Yeah. All right. So we fight a little bit more. I think Glenn interjects later.
Later. So we're going to go get to dinner. You're the resident gay historian. Dylan is the resident food culinary expert.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
I don't know
much.
What I am.
What have you thought about Alicia?
I think she's been a fantastic, fantastic 84 the entire season. I love Alicia. I want her. I think she could be a staple on the show. I think she's got a lovely disposition. I want her. I ship her and Chase.
She's got to lose a boyfriend.
Oh my god, do I ship her and Chase?
I think she needs to lose that boyfriend.
She does.
Otherwise, I don't think we'll ever see her again.
Yeah.
I don't know if, and this is, I think it's, I'm sure it's part of misogyny. Female chefs don't seem to do as well on these franchises unless they're crazy like Rachel.
Yeah. Rachel is seeing Shutter Island kind of waking nightmares while she's cooking things.
There you can hear a Dajo for strings like playing platoon style.
Yeah.
Like when Rachel is cooking.
Yep. 100%, which is why she's so fantastic. But Alicia she's almost in a sweet spot. What we need, when I've been begging for Dushka all season, Dushka was amazing. She dry fries pork chops with no oil whatsoever. That's the kind of person that we really need on the show. But Alicia is great because she's a solid chef, but she every once in a while will do. She'll make a mistake, like serve a lemon sorbet as a palate cleanser in the 11th course out of 12. Or, like tonight, she'll serve a 30-ounce fucking ribeye to every single person.
That's a really big piece of meat.
It's just too much meat.
Is that just an Australian thing?
I don't know.
Or a New Zealand thing?
But that is just not done.
That was a huge steak.
I don't know if the crew were like, we would like to eat that. And she was like, I've got an idea. Let's just have everybody have a steak. But that was
a Fred Flintstone cut.
Yes, 100%. That was a $280 steak at a restaurant. And the first course is, but the first course is, you know, what you'd love to see. It's an avocado mousse with whipped feta, caviar, and a Sardinian flatbread. Somebody says, I love caviar, but I can't spell it. Now that's one of those tension cutting jokes that doesn't really work because it's fucking insane. Because who can't spell caviar? You can, the person that said it.
You'd be surprised. But that is one of those things that someone says and other people go, and no one really thinks it's funny. And then other people are embarrassed for that.
Yeah.
Sadly.
That's why those are the kind of things that make me not want to meet new people.
It's a problem with these shows in general because you can tell these people don't really know each other.
Yeah.
They're not really friends. The best charters are the people who are friends.
Right.
Because the conversation is natural. I shouldn't say the best charters, the easiest charters, the worst charters, and in a weird way, our best charters are when people who barely know each other,
right?
Like
Simple Chuck and Erica Rose and that whole debacle.
Oh, 100%. They are wonderful.
They are wonderful. My favorite part about Chuck is that he says he doesn't do Adderall.
He may not take it. He snorts it.
He's like, no, I don't want time release. You can't crush those. They're like, what did you say? Nothing. Just fill the prescription. So the reason why people who don't know each other work so well is because we have conversations like this. Now, you were going to illuminate the logic of this. But basically, what you want to lay it out?
Okay, so it starts out with, before they'd gotten on the boat, there was some good old-fashioned people watching, and we all like to judge, and I guess there were, as Jake had pointed out earlier, there were some people wearing tiny clothes that in their big fat bodies, And we have team mom enabler and her son and I guess her two son-in-laws. And then we have team Burning Man. Burning Man is more live and let live. Let's not judge.
Live and let live.
And then we have, and by the way, it was his Johnny Cochran moment when Randy laid down, would you fuck him or not?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he threw the gavel down and just said, I won. Jake,
I'm really confused about his threshold for successful existing is whether or not he wants to fuck someone. Like, I don't understand why this got to where it got.
Well, for Randy, that it is how fuckable he is to other people. And the fact that what he was calling out is a double standard in gay male behavior, where we say, like, in other words, a lot of times you hear this phrase in gay hookup culture, okay, is no fats, no femmes, no Asians.
Okay.
Is a very common thing you used to see on hookup apps.
Oh, poor Asians.
In other words, you can be as open-minded as possible, but you are very specific about who you want to fuck.
Right, right.
And what Randy was trying to call out is the hypocrisy that they were calling him out about fat shaming. He's like, you can do anything you want. And what Randy, sadly, I don't want to agree with Randy here, but what he was telling the Burning Man queens is, you know what? You're defending them, but you wouldn't fuck them.
Yeah.
So he's essentially a hypocrite.
Yeah. And they got called out on national television.
What? Mm-hmm. So what was it? No fats, no femmes, no Asians?
No Asians is something you used to see.
Is it kind of like Harvard's admission policy?
I think since K-pop kind of hit the scene in 10 years, I bet that's kind of washed away. I bet
it's going away, but that used to be a thing. Asian gay men especially were discriminated against, and it's still a thing now. I think every Asian gay man would tell you, I would have a story.
Well, you know what? I bet they'll put their head down and they'll work harder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I will say that came from a place of Randy's got a big chip on his shoulder. So that's where that came from. I guarantee you he's been rejected by gays who look like Todd and whatever the other fuck is name, some other gay name.
Right.
Grant. That's another gay name.
Jake, is Randy cute on any level?
I think so.
I wouldn't fuck him.
He pukes too much.
Let me just say, I sometimes rank guys by what hour of Grindr hookup they are. Like, if Randy contacted me at 10:30, absolutely not. If Randy contacted me at 12 midnight, no.
Yeah.
1 a.m., no. I think on a bad night, no. Yeah. I don't even know if it's 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Well,
and so, also, if you said yes, you would possibly intertwine with somebody who was going to throw up in your house, take a shit, and then not flush the toilet.
This is true, and it would be a terrible story to tell at dinner, which I would.
It'd make you
sad. Gay men do.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't want to be judgy here, but and Dylan smokes e-cigarettes occasionally, or not anymore.
No. I gave the stuff up.
Okay. Randy does something truly disgusting at this dinner table, from old Patty's perspective, which is has a lit cigarette out.
Oh yeah.
At the dinner table while there's still food at the table.
Yeah.
Food's gone. Drinking wine, even dessert there. Light up.
Right.
A fucking full 8-pound ribeye steak that Fred Flintstone couldn't eat.
Right. You, if there's a rack of ribs in front of you, which is essentially what this is, that's fine. If there's chartreuse and some kind of trifle, then yeah, pull out a cig. It's fine. But that guy, he has no fucking. Is Emily Post gay?
Emily, I know Emily Post.
Okay.
That's for like finicky gays.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, he has he's never read an Emily Post book because he orders martinis wrong. He smokes at the dinner table at the wrong times. He's just he's a fucking asshole, this guy.
Yeah, I don't like
Randy. And also, we'd love to have you on the show.
Oh, Randy, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on. By the way, just so you know, Jake, I have had my phone. We reached out to Grant, the guy who wore dead lizard cocks on his neck, the nice guy from Burning Man. Yeah. We invited him to be on the podcast with all our thruple tonight. He has not responded yet, but we still have time doing the podcast. We will dial him in immediately if he responds.
We'll phone a friend.
Perfect. And I want to know how. I have a feeling that Paul, that little Pocket Gay is a client.
Yeah, okay. I like that. That's such a good take.
I think Pocket Gay is a client, and Pocket Gay said, "Well, if you want me, you got to take my mother, my husband, and our boyfriend. We could be great TV."
So we get a C-Rat story from Lucky. She obviously got punched in the face as a bottle service girl.
Yeah, she was a bottle service girl.
So that, of course, happened.
I love her stories.
They're amazing.
They're done with absolutely no pretense.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens in Wales at 11:30 at night.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, because she has a good relationship with her mother and family, like, we always have this theory that this entire industry attracts broken people, and they make great sea rats because, you know, dad was an alcoholic, or mom was an alcoholic, or someone died in a gunfight over drugs.
Yeah.
And that's how they end up here. Lucky ended up here, and her dad loves her, which is why she's not sleeping with Gary, Chase, or anybody else.
Yeah.
Or she's not dancing on a pole somewhere.
Right. Yeah. When you've seen as many people get into fights in the middle of the street and they're both wielding broken Buckfast bottles trying to stab each other, you can't really be pretentious about anything. It just kind of brings you down. You know what I mean?
I mean, some guy worked on these boats. His mother beat him with a bone or something.
No. She was actually beat with a bone while he washed.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Actually get that right. All right. So we got to get to the next day.
Next day.
Next day.
We get the prenup discussion, but we've covered that. So Chase, his only blemish the entire season is the booby thing. And it was a big blemish. But Chase has more than recovered from that moment.
I agree. And I can't. And I find myself rarely going back and saying, you know what? Maybe I was too hard on him.
Yeah.
It's also, he's too close to home because he's from Charleston, South Carolina. I'm from South Carolina. I know a lot of Chases.
Yeah.
And it's that I guarantee you he's not from nothing.
Yeah.
He's from a decent family.
Yep.
He went to Cotillion. He learned manners.
Yep.
I think it's that. And to me, every talking head he does feels like Jersey Shore season two. Like, the camp with a lot of energy,
and it gets on
my fucking nerves.
Yeah.
But I will say he has redeemed himself. I think in person he would be a pretty normal, charming hang.
We've had him on. He falls under the archetype of the Southern bumpkin dude that the happy-go-lucky.
I don't know about that. I mean, he's a smart guy.
Okay. Well, there's been Culver. Do you remember Culver? He was almost like a version of Culver, but he's actually smarter than the average bear kind of guy. I actually see him being on another season, possibly.
Well, Culver is a different situation. He's from, you know how there are billionaires?
He's from money.
Yeah, there are billionaires in the Midwest that did it through copper wiring, you know, and you're like, what the fuck?
Your dad made $1 billion and he owns a cardboard box company?
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's Culver.
Culver has that, like, fucked up look of, like, Mayflower about him.
Yes.
Where, like, the jaw's too strong.
Right.
Three generations ago it was a Habsburg jaw.
Yes.
Yeah.
He looks like he could have died for Lincoln.
Can I do a meanwhile?
Yes.
Okay.
Meanwhile,
Lucky finds her second unfleshed toilet.
Yeah.
This caused Lucky to unravel and rethink her life entirely. And I think she's seeing that floating turd as a symbol of her life. It's a circling, you know, turd going down the drain.
Yeah.
And it's through a tunnel of darkness. I think this is Lucky's last stint on one of these vessels.
I think so. And I think it's a shame because she's amazing.
I agree. And she's a joy. And it is a shame. I don't think she's fit out for any other reality show because she's completely without guile.
Right.
And Below Deck is where she belongs. I don't think in a million years she would ever do another charter season.
Yeah.
I think she's going to be a sports agent. Well, maybe we'll find out when we interview her on Friday.
Yeah.
I'm imagining her like in the Jerry Maguire style, trying to talk to someone.
Like following him out?
Yeah.
Yeah? Like like Renee's following him out when everybody else leaves him behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just trying to imagine her doing the Jerry Maguire, show me the money.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, no, she's not capable of it. I think she's gonna find somebody, fall in love.
Exactly.
And just
Lucy,
be fucking
much
happy.
Easier. And you're gorgeous. Well, you're fine.
What she needs to do is go to whatever power node she needs to go to on planet Earth and sacrifice whatever she needs to sacrifice
to save her life and her family's
legacy.
To save
her fucking life.
The final destination. Yeah, yeah, agreed. 100%.
One thing that's worth mentioning, because we haven't talked about Gary a lot in the Mad situation throughout this episode, but it's sprinkled in. Gary is a lingerer. Wherever Mads is, he finds her throughout the episode and then just says dumb shit, and she is not having any of it.
Right.
And Mads is his kryptonite, And I will say this is one of the reasons we mentioned this earlier, and I have to keep coming back to it. This is why he has revealed himself to becoming a true, orc-like creature, like mm-hmm. you mentioned
oh,
earlier.
Yeah.
Where he has, it's like just the basest human feelings of acting like a child, because he has felt like no control. And when he has no control, this is what happens.
Yeah, unravels.
It's really.
Jake, think of last season. He had Ashley Juggs.
Yeah.
I think that's her last name.
Eating Ash.
It might as well spaghetti, we called her.
She's making $315 a month on OnlyFans
right
now.
She slipped his penis into her vagina. She had Gabriella Baragande.
Gabriella Baragande.
Trying to sleep with him. And then he had the Daisy thing. So he is not accustomed to change.
He's not.
And then before.
He's not accustomed to change. He's used to having ladies.
The season before that, he had the
Florida sea rat with the handprints on
poor
the guest
stews.
Bedroom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the girl from Australia. So wrapping up this episode, the Na'vi is very into working out. We head to the beach and he makes Mads plank for way too long. It's like crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just crazy.
We work out with weight. We use people as tools.
Yeah. Like what? What kind of
weird thing to say.
King Leopold thing is that, to use people as fucking weights?
I want you to behave for me.
So Gary and Colin, we wrap with a mini little flip out from Gary leads to a mini little flip out from Colin. And this is why Colin can't be in a relationship with Daisy. Colin is a drama queen.
Yep,
Colin
always.
Is so emotional, and we need him to be emotional. He needs to squirt kerosene on the floor, have somebody trip on it, and then have him light it with his cigarette and then walk away.
And then claim no fault of what happened.
Exactly.
All right.
No. You're exactly right. And he needs to, when he gets involved with something, he is also someone who gets overwhelmed very easily, which is why he's got a sailboat and he can run at any time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we have, I know he's the internet darling of everyone's like, oh, I want Colin as my boyfriend. You ladies out there who want Colin as your boyfriend, he is going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to, I promise you, I like Colin too, because he's great TV.
Yeah.
But Colin is a boyfriend who's going to hold you at a distance. He's got a great tongue. He will tell you everything. Great tongue, cunnilingus wise, and what he's going to say.
Oh, yeah. He's such a giver.
Jake, we always say this. The sea rats are always running from something. They're always running. That's why they're on these boats. That final conversation before this episode
just
ends.
Just really commit to therapy and just be open when they go in. Mm-hmm. Don't just
agree.
Just be open and face it. Put roots down somewhere. Don't die alone at 49.
You can't do that as a sea rat.
Well, they won't die alone. They'll find a younger girl that will live with or be. They never die alone. Yeah. All right. Final scene basically is Colin and Gary in their bunks. And that's, I think you kind of touched on it.
Yeah.
Gary tells Colin he needs to watch out for Daisy. And really, Colin notes, no, I need to watch out for you. You're a scumbag.
Yep.
And then the episode ends.
We'll see that on the reunion. And we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Go to Reality Gaze. Go to our show.
Go to realitygaze.com. You can go find us on Instagram at Reality Gaze Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Reality Gaze Pod. You can find us on the TikTok at Reality Gaze.
Boom.
And let me tell you something. These guys make us laugh. They coverage really do. Of 90 Day, they own it. Super funny. We put our stamp
Thank
of approval
you.
On them.
You guys... You're always a good time.
And if you're listening to us on the Reality Gaze, join us on Bad TV, or we do shows exclusively about Below Deck and another Below Deck podcast. But if you want to listen to us break down Flavor of Love or Vanderpump, join us on Bad TV.
So, did you guys do this last season of Vanderpump?
We did.
Yes, we did. Yeah. And that's at patreon.com.
I just want to say, I haven't watched it since like season two or three. But I just want to put it out there in the ether. I don't think we'll have anything like this in our lifetimes.
Yeah. Reality show. No.
You know, I think
I just don't think so.
But Flavor of
it
Love.
It won't be as perfect.
Flavor of Love, a contestant shit on the floor.
That's true.
So
that's true. No, that was Camelot. That was Camelot.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Nothing like it.
That was Toddlers and Tiaras were big fans of. And we also think that was Camelot. When Mackenzie turned to the camera, he goes, "Sometimes I just like to like drink my soda and go off."
Well, and then there was the one where the woman called the PR girl and said, "You know, you've framed me in a bad light." And then she keeps retaking it over and over again and yells at her bitch mom to stop interrupting the voicemail.
Oh, you're talking about when I was wearing Louis Vuitton.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Right.
Now, look, I don't want to believe that, Jake. I think Vanderpump that scandal was amazing this season, but there's still there's more to go.
There's more to go.
We have another. Hopefully we do a collab with you guys with the next season of Love Is
and
Blind.
Bravo,
that's always amazing.
Pay Rachel whatever she needs because we
Thank
need
you.
Her.
Thank you.
Pay her
Thank
the
you.
Most out of everybody. Fuck Ariana right now. We need Rachel on the show.
Mm. Yep, agree.
Not fuck Ariana. I know that she's the heroine, but also
no, you need Bambi there.
No, she's gonna be fine, Dylan.
Yeah, let's calm down.
Ariana's gonna be fine.
She's doing so many ads. Like she's fine. Fuck. All right, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us, y'all.
I haven't had this much time recapping in a while. Thanks, Jake. I mean that.
No. But you said it wrong.
You said I haven't had that much time recapping.
No, I said I haven't had this much fun.
Well, you meant to say that.
Oh, sorry, Jake. We do 18 podcasts a week like you guys.
I hear you. I'm on my third today, so I'm like...
All right. Love you all. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.